The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
As we know from decades of experience here in Ireland, and particularly in relation to our referendum of 2018, abortion is a very sensitive issue which can also bring about some very strong opinions. It is a major issue in the United States of America, again, where we're going to Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown. And I just want everyone to sort of hopefully respect everyone else's opinion in relation to this. Marion McKeown, I want to start with you, because for those who may not have been following why abortion has again become a major issue in the United States, tell us what's happened in Texas and why it might have national significance.
Okay, Matt. What's happened in Texas very briefly is there was a new law passed. It's called the SB 8 law, which prevents any woman in Texas from having an abortion after the 6-week period, which is when the Texas legislature decided that a fetal heartbeat can be detected. Now, at the moment, between 85 and 90% of abortions in Texas take place after that period, because most women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. So it's effectively tantamount to an abortion ban in Texas. But that isn't really the most disturbing part. The most disturbing part is that in order to evade the laws, the normal laws, this law has been written so that it's up to individuals in Texas, ordinary citizens, who don't have to have any standing to sue anybody who helps a woman to obtain an abortion after that period. Now, this can be somebody like a friend who loans her the money. It can be an Uber driver who drives her to the clinic. And obviously, it can be the abortion care providers. Now, any person in Texas, basically any guy in a bar in Texas, can sue any person who becomes involved in helping a woman to obtain the abortion after 6 weeks. He doesn't have to know the woman. He doesn't have to know the person's involved at all. And what has happened is the Supreme Court in the United States has decided that it is going to allow this law to stand for now. And this is the particularly shocking part to me, because this the principles of the American Supreme Court are stare decisis, which is stick to what's decided. Precedent plays a huge role in American law and in all common law systems. And so the Supreme Court usually considers itself bound by previous decisions of the Supreme Court. There have been countless previous decisions that have refused to allow any states to reduce a woman's right to abortion in America. With this, the Supreme Court has decided that not only are they going to let this law, which seems shockingly badly drafted, stand, but they're also going to allow the provisions, which basically turns Texans into a state of bounty hunters. So anyone who needs 10 grand in a hurry can pursue a claim. And also in this law, if you successfully pursue a claim against somebody and get your $10,000, be it, as I say, an Uber driver or a friend who loans money to a woman to get an abortion, you also get your legal fees paid, whereas the person on the other side, even if they win, has to pay their own legal fees. It's blatantly unequal, unfair, unjust, and unconstitutional, and I have no idea why the Supreme Court will uphold it for the time being.
Okay. Cal Thomas, I know from previous discussions with you on the subject of abortion, you would have a very, very anti-abortion attitude and very strongly believe in curtailing abortions. However, the way that this is being done, as described by Marion, is this an appropriate or correct way, even for those who believe in anti-abortion, that things should be done?
I'm not anti-abortion, Matt. I'm pro-life. And I think the labeling is very important here. Most of the media have characterized this as denying women's rights. But, you know, it also denies men's rights, because the father has absolutely no rights, even a married father, in any of this. But I would say that I agree with Marion on the vigilante part. I think that's not going to stand up under law. The more important case is one that the Supreme Court has decided to hear from the state of Mississippi this fall, and arguments before the court about establishing a 15-week prohibition after 15 weeks to get an abortion. But we've had over 60 million of these in the United States, and you referenced Ireland's law a few years ago. The polls show that people in America are disturbed by the number, and not only the number, but also there's no restriction now, effectively, for a woman who could get an abortion up to the moment of delivery. As a matter of fact, the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, has said that if a woman has an abortion and the baby survives, then he wants to put the baby aside and keep it comfortable and find out what the woman wants to do, effectively saying you're going to let the child die. So I think there's a coarseness now about the value of human life. There's been a long-running debate between those who believe that human life is endowed by our Creator, as Thomas Jefferson wrote, and those who are secular humanists and who believe that we're evolutionary accidents and ought to be able to do whatever we want with each other. Marion references stare decisis. There have been cases, including Dred Scott and others, Plessy versus Ferguson, that have overturned previous Supreme Court rulings. I think the science on this, the fact that sonograms now can peer into the womb and see what it is that is growing in there, has changed an awful lot of minds. It certainly has in my experience with women I've spoken to.
Marion McKeown, is that your experience that there has been a shift of opinion in the United States?
No, but I can't speak to it with the same authority that Cal has. I can only speak to it anecdotally, and I don't think that the statistics that I've encountered would in fact support that. But I'd like to address a point that Cal makes, and just with some statistics. And, you know, the thing is, I really need to stress that for nobody in, I don't believe there's a woman in the world for whom abortion is an easy decision. It's always going to be a difficult, probably torturous decision in so many ways. And I also think, just as a point of observation, if Texan women are forced into having abortions before 6 weeks, I know people who have thought about it, and after a couple of weeks have thought, well, maybe I'll keep this baby. So you're going to even deny women that period where they can think about what they, you know, other options if they have to be rushed in before 6 weeks. But also, Cal, just in reference to one of the things you said, there is a federal Act, which you probably know, it's the 2002 Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which says that any baby that is born alive and has to be treated as a living person. So, you know, that really addresses the issue that you raised. Now, the other thing is that fewer than 1% of abortions are performed after 21 weeks. And that's overwhelmingly when they are in the cases of women who, because complications are detected at a late stage, or they believe that the fetus has such abnormalities that the fetus couldn't survive or the mother couldn't survive, that's when these late-term abortions, as they're called, are performed. And there is, you know, Donald Trump and all of, there was this hysteria saying that abortions were being performed up to the time of birth. It's just not true. It's just not true. There are no full-term abortions. So, you know, we really need to dismiss that. As I say, I have huge sympathy for people on both sides of this argument. But you have to...
Look, Marion, it's only difficult if it's human. Any other things that are expelled from the human body, we don't even think about. But it's a difficult decision because deep in the hearts of many people, they know that this is a human being. Given the right to live and to be born means that they can grow up and have an actual life. I've talked to women all over America as I've spoken for pregnancy help centers. Many of them who have had abortions said they regretted it, and if they had only had more information like adoption services, which are available, sonograms, which are now available all over the country, they would have made a different decision. So the polls have shown that 90%, roughly 90% of pro-abortion women, or women who are abortion-minded, who see a picture of their own baby, decide to give it life. So I'm for truth in lending, truth in labeling, and truth when it comes to unborn babies.
Cal, just one other thing on this. Given that the Supreme Court is perceived to have a 5-4 conservative majority after Trump's appointments, do you see other laws coming to the Supreme Court which could change nationally the way abortion is allowed?
Well, we'll see, Matt. John Roberts, the Chief Justice, is the key man, and as Marion referenced earlier without mentioning him, he is a strict traditionalist on the court. He thinks that overturning certain laws would bring disrepute and disrespect of the court. So a lot of it boils down to him. We'll have to see how the arguments for the Mississippi case goes. But I think there is a general feeling in America that 60 million abortions is way too much, and we need to have some kind of limitation on them.
Let's move to other things. Marion, tell us about the belated removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee from the state capital of Richmond in Virginia, and how some people are still objecting to this on the basis that he was some kind of hero. I mean, he was the commander on the losing Confederate side in the American Civil War. How was that a hero?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a controversy that you just feel sometimes it's like those Reconstructionists who keep reenacting the battles of the Civil War, only the Robert E. Lee side wins. You know, it's an irrelevance in my view. I mean, I think Robert E. Lee has long since been discredited. This statue would have been removed a year ago. The governor announced his intention to do so after the George Floyd protests, and then he was sued by various groups. They lost the legal action. Now, you know, it's part of America's history. I'm not suggesting that you obliterate Robert E. Lee. I think he provides useful lessons to America today. That statue can be put in a museum. It can be put elsewhere. It does not deserve pride of place in a major American city as though he were some kind of hero. It's long time. It's long overdue. And I say good riddance to him. And as I say, preserve it somewhere else if you like, but it should not be dominating a major city in a major state.
Do you have any problems with the removal of the statue, Cal?
No, I agree with Marion, fully.
Wow, that's great. That allows us to move on to something else. How worried are you by the new MU COVID variant, Cal, which is now found in 49 US states? Because it seems you have hit something of a ceiling on your vaccination rollout, way lower than what we've achieved here in this country. We're over 91% fully vaccinated here in Ireland now. And you seem to have an issue with continuing cases, hospitalizations and deaths, which are perhaps unnecessary. And now you have this thing coming along.
Right. Well, we have more hospitalizations, but fewer deaths, thankfully, because of the vaccine. And a lot of those who are in hospital are those who have not been vaccinated, although a significant number have. I'm very concerned about the MU variant. And, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci and others have said that we could have expected these variants, not just Delta, but now MU and probably some more, because these things have a way of replicating themselves and standing up against viruses. So I think it's a very, very serious issue. And I'm not sure that the booster shots that the FDA has approved for after September 20th are going to do the job. I certainly hope they will, because I intend to get mine as soon as they're available.
Good man, Cal. But Marion McKeown, is there a sense in the United States that people are trying to move past COVID, but perhaps doing it a little bit too quickly?
You know, I don't think America is able to move past COVID. I think that's part of the reason that Joe Biden's numbers have been dropping, that people are just weary from this. And it seems that every time the vaccination numbers go up, that, you know, the death rates are lower, it's true, but they're well over 1,000 a day still. And they're mainly in states where the vaccination rates have been very low, states like Florida and Mississippi, which are currently leading the charge in COVID deaths. Now, what I find really frustrating about this is it's these people who are refusing to get vaccinated that are hosts to these new variants. And it's been suggested that the Mu variant is vaccine resistant and that it's very easy to transmit. So as a result, these, as I say, variants are thriving in the unvaccinated. And this is what's really frustrating for most of Americans who have been vaccinated. And in the meantime, then you have all this idiocy of, oh, well, you know, don't get vaccinated, just take a horse warmer instead or whatever. It's a really frustrating situation for the country, for the economy, for people's health, and for people, tragically, who were resistant to vaccinations and who are now dying slow, horrible deaths that could have been absolutely avoided.
Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, as ever, thank you for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.